this. You had Tommy Wangles here.
I look like a dork.
I almost gave you my lunch money.
Hey, guys, it's Tommy Wangles. Here he comes.
Look out. Here comes Tommy Wangles and his gang on the bike, his bikes. They're going over to the dirt hills. They're going to jump things, and then they're going to go to the soda fountain.
They're causing havoc.
They're causing a ruckus. My dad said I should stay away from Tommy Wangles and his gang.
Because whenever Tommy Wangles and his gang shows up, hijinks ensue.
I know. I got a super wedgie from him. That's when you wedgie so hard, it almost goes up inside. It's a super compound wedgie. He wedged me so hard, the bones came out.
It's otherwise known as a Flying Dutchman.
Hello, Avalanche fans, and welcome back to the Avs Hockey Podcast. This is your home for almost everything Avalanche, and I'm your host, Jay Veen. In this show, James Tapeleg Grillion from the Rink Podcast and I break down the first 8 games of the 2013 Avalanche season. We discuss more apologetic letters from the NHL and the Avalanche. We talk about the latest news in the Ryan O'Reilly saga, and we encourage more Avalanche players to take pucks off their faces because apparently it helps them play better. Those topics and much more Avalanche stuff coming at you in episode number 76 of the Avs Hockey Podcast. Stick around. James and I will be right back. Hello, Avalanche fans, and welcome back to the Avs Hockey Podcast. This is your home for almost everything Avalanche. I'm your host, Jay Veen, here with my man, James Tapeleg Grillion from the Rink Podcast. Hi, James.
Howdy.
We are fueled today by Burrito Supremes from Pete's Kitchen.
Yeah, not Chipotle because they don't do brekkie.
No, they don't.
No.
Qdoba's in Fort Collins do. I'm pretty jealous. That's what I've heard.
Maybe, but not Qdoba's here?
No.
Hi. College, welcome, everybody, to the Burrito Podcast. Mm-hmm.
Where you can find burritos for your face.
Burrito.
Fueled by Pete's Kitchen, Colfax and Race. Yeah. It's awesome. Those of you that have been there know what I'm talking about. If you're ever in Denver or you live in Denver or whatever, Pete's Kitchen for all your breakfast burrito needs.
Those of you who live in Canada are going to have two problems today. One, no shout outs to Canadians today.
No.
Because we're
being patriotic.
We got chance.
America.
America. America.
F and yeah.
You guys don't get Burrito Supremes from Pete's Kitchen.
So now, we'll apologize early.
In Canada, though, you get Donair sauce, which is just weird.
Okay.
It's freaky.
I don't even know what that is.
You don't want to know. Don't ever eat it.
Okay, then.
And I'm saying this just to rile up our Canadian fans. It's like a blog post from a certain sports writer that we know. I'm just riling them up with the Donair sauce. It doesn't have anything to do with anything, but it's still horrible stuff.
I've seen that happen. So, all right. This is episode number 76 of the Avs Hockey Podcast. You're home for almost everything Avalanche. Mm-hmm. There were no 76s that wore it, at least during the regular season.
Mm-hmm.
What did we say we're going to do?
We're going to do sixes because we keep doing, we have enough sevens. I mean, we 7, 7, 7, 7, 7, you know.
Yes. Avalanche DB, thank you very much for your filter for jersey numbers.
Folks, if you don't know what we're talking about, avalanchedb.com is a database of all the Avalanche players. They've got all kinds of stuff and stats. And they had this great area with just the jersey numbers. You click on the number, you get a list of all the people. Well, they changed their site around, and now we figured out how to actually filter that by jersey number.
You don't have to say we. It was you.
It was us. It's a team effort.
All right. And we'll do the hockey player language.
This is a team effort.
Okay.
No low fives. No low triple fives.
Those are not allowed.
Not allowed. This is total team effort. We're going to skate to center ice, and I'm going to carry Jay the entire time. But it's going to be okay.
Literally.
Oh, that would be so painful.
All right. Number six is an Avalanche history.
Here's one I don't remember. Rick Barry. It sounds like
he's still around. Like he's on Twitter. He's around Denver somewhere doing things. And
he's
stuff.
Not playing hockey.
No,
he's not. He sounds like somebody that would work with Casey Kasem. Rick Barry in the morning.
That's pretty good.
Thank you.
So if they haven't done that, they should already.
I want to see Rick Barry and Tommy Wingles square off. That'd be hilarious.
Do your Tommy Wingles thing. That was good.
Oh, Tommy Wingles is a player for the Sharks, and he just has that name that sounds like a bully from Leave It to Beaver. Oh, Tommy Wingles took my lunch money.
It really does.
Tommy Wingles and his gang. Everybody close shop. We're running away. What's up, Tommy Wingles? You can't say his first name only. It's got to be, he's always Tommy Wingles.
That's true. I get that a lot. Jay Veen.
What would you, how would you do that with like the hockey nickname, the Wingler? the wings? I don't know. Wingles is just.
I think we'd have to ask a hockey player about that.
Tomster?
Oh, no.
It sounds like a website that you go to for just people named Tom. T-O-M-S-T-R. It's like Tumblr and stuff.
I just call him Tommy.
All right.
We'll go with that.
Captain Wingles.
Wade Belak.
Mm.
Craig Lannan.
Mm-hmm.
Eric Johnson. DJ Smith. Rick Barry.
And the great DJ Smith. I liked him better when he was just Will Smith. Jeff Finger.
One of your favorite players in Avalanche history.
What do I do? My stick is broken. What do I do? Do I go to the bench?
I'll stay here.
Do I stay here?
No, I'll go to the bench.
There we
go.
Oh, minus one.
Darn it. Bob Bugner and Derek.
And minus one.
Derek Peltier.
Peltier?
Derek no, Peltier? I don't know. No, because Justin. Oh, it is. It's Peltier. Justin Mercier was the other one who had the weird.
Mercer?
Yeah, I don't know. Whatever. Okay, those are your sixes. Who do you like best out of that
Mueller.
List?
Mueller.
Want to go EJ?
I'm going to have to go EJ. Man, the guy, he has been better.
Mm-hmm.
He was pretty invisible in a couple of games there. And I'm still waiting for these guys to get their legs about him. But one thing about EJ is he really directs traffic well. That's the one thing I liked about him when I watched him. Like if it's him, another defenseman and a center, he knows exactly where everybody else should go. Now, he may not know where he should go, but he definitely knows, you know,
hey,
I've got to stay here. You go take that guy in the corner or, you know.
We'll give him credit for that.
Yeah.
He creates he's got some skills. He's got some good hands.
Mm-hmm.
He's able to create a little bit on the rush. He can join a rush. I mean, he's going to score some goals on the power play this year too. I was pretty close to I was feeling a goal from him yesterday,
mm-hmm.
but that just didn't happen. But
hey, speaking of good hands, Jay Veen, folks, he actually did a little skating the other day, a little time with the puck.
Good hands?
No, but their hands were there. They were there.
Yeah,
and deflected some stuff on net.
That was fun.
That was a good time.
I had better time shooting the puck at your stick.
Hard.
Yeah, that was fun. We'll do that again.
It's creepy.
Stick and puck. All right, so this is the, who did we say?
Eric Johnson.
This is the EJ edition of the show, mm-hmm. episode number 76 of the Avs Hockey Podcast. You're home for everything Avalanche. All right, we're into the season. Eight games in. 4-4.
Yep.
Looking okay. I mean, it was bleak there for about two or three games, and you would thought the world would end. They, you know, the Avalanche score one goal in three games.
I think this is a good time to talk about this, because we are in the short season, and we have to set this up a little bit, because 48 games for me right now is seeming really manageable. It's you know, 82 games is a lot to keep up with.
Yeah.
But 48 games, I mean, I would love to see somewhere in between. I'd like to see even 70 would be like an ideal season for me.
I
liked having a little bit of time, a little extra time, but you know, I still want my hockey. But I was wondering, like, when do you start being concerned?
Freak out. Exactly. How about five games in?
Jeez. I understand. There was two shutouts in a row.
There
were three games with one goal
in the game
and
in 11 between.
Against. Yeah. And that's ugly. And you wonder and you see things that are of concern. And we're going to talk about these because we're going to go through a couple of these games briefly. But when do you start to go? I mean, okay, Avalanche fans, when do you start going, let's fire Sacco? Okay, five seasons ago. But, and he hasn't been here that long.
Yeah.
But still.
Exactly, yeah.
When do you start saying, enough is enough? We have, you know, changes have to be made. When does management start to freak out in a 48
season? It's definitely
not season?
5 games in.
No.
But it felt that way. It felt like,
it sure
here
did.
It comes again.
It was bleak.
And then, you know, a little breakout. Stastny scores the power play goal. Everything feels mm-hmm. better right away. And, you know,
yeah.
They win that game, the next one.
I don't follow. There's a lot of online stuff. There's a lot of stuff that I don't follow. Like, for instance, the two guys that write for the Denver Post, which is our only beat writers. I don't follow them really.
You think they might be Voldemort because we never mention their names very often.
The writers who must not be mentioned. But that's kind of, you know, obviously that's kind of weird. Is, oh, you know, I'm a bad fan or something. I don't really care. But the point being that. So they tend to be negative. They tend to run negative. I think that they're kind of A, burned out, B, tired of not getting talked to by the club.
That's an easy way to get attention. Yeah,
all kinds of sure. things. But so I don't get their negative influence that often. So I'm wondering what it is about those games that made it so seem so bleak. Was it the broadcasters who are generally positive to a fault, where it seems like they can't even see what's going on. Was it the actual play on the ice? Was it the echo chamber of things like Twitter, which, you know, I've seemed to have picked back up a
good
little
descriptor.
Bit.
Good descriptor. I like that.
What was it? What did you get off of this whole thing that made it seem like these first five games are just the litmus test of a failure of a season already?
That's a good question. It felt like this, I've watched that season before, and I guess with the 48 games, it's just that much more compressed. People are that much more wound tightly, and maybe that's where Twitter and Facebook don't come in so handy. It was just not being competitive. Mm-hmm. That was a tough part, but it was also that transition from having Landeskog to not all of a sudden. Mm. And it wasn't like, you know, right when Landeskog got hit, everybody was like, wow, he's going to be out for a while. He skates off the ice, goes to the locker room, comes back out, plays the rest of that game. Mm-hmm. And then I think it's late the next day where they announce he's not going to play that night. And then a couple games later, they say he's on the IR. So
right.
I think it was a little bit of everything. Although,
is the IR just the stupidest thing in the world? I mean,
I think it's just so they can bring somebody up. I think if he was going to be out for a while, they would have done that right away.
I've been on the IR retroactive to 1995.
Mm-hmm. I'm on and off. It just depends on the week.
I'm just, everything's retroactive.
That's right. That's right. So he's eligible to play today's Sunday. He's eligible to play tomorrow. They made it retroactive to last Monday or whatever when he missed the game. But it was a combination of a lot of stuff, but it's also, okay, what is this team going to do without Landeskog? Mm-hmm. And how are they going to look? And they came out looking like that. I think the Ryan O'Reilly factor does, see what I did there? I think that does not help at all either, where people are wound up tightly as that goes too. And that's where I think Chambers had a little bit of a point. We can talk about that actually when he posted it, but it was, you know, how as an ownership can you show the fans that you care when you basically arguably take your best player from last year's team and maybe the year before, whatever, and then you refuse to sign him? So that's right. It's discouraging. It's everybody's really uptight anyways, and it just adds on to it gives people something to talk about all the time. I'm kind of tired of talking about the lockout. I got one more letter that we can read. I'm just ready to move on with the team that's out there on the ice, but the Ryan O'Reilly thing is always going to come up until something is decided with that guy.
Right. And everything. And the other two big restricted free agents, which were PK Subban and Jamie Benn.
Both signed.
Yep. And PK Subban did not get the money that he was looking for, did not get the money that anybody was expecting him to get, which not surprising, really.
I don't know. It's messy with O'Reilly because he does so many intangibles. He's that defensive guy that you can't measure that, so you can't pay him worth that. And who knows what his agent is asking for? Who knows what the hang-up is? But it makes it that much more frustrating when you see the Avalanche out there struggling on both ends of the ice. And it's just, you know, I've watched this game 50 times.
How much penalty
times.
Killing has he done? Because the
O'Reilly?
Yeah.
A lot.
So
he's one of the main guys. He's the guy that would be out there probably instead of Duchesne. But Duchesne played like 25 minutes, I think, in the Calgary. No, I think it was yesterday. I mean, he played a ton for a forward. He's out there in all three aspects of the game, but he's been better, you know.
He's been a lot better.
He really has. I mean, I'm really excited from what I see. So O'Reilly's not out there, sure, and we can complain about that. But then you get guys like a Duchesne, more ice time, more of a chance to shine, and he's definitely taking advantage. So
speaking of excitement, because we've talked about this with the lockout, and we're kind of, you know, obviously we're tired of the talking about the lockout. We're going to get to the letter in just a second. How do you feel now that the season has started? Now that you've been to a couple of games? Where's your excitement factor now?
It's getting there.
Yeah. I ask this entirely to judge you as a human being.
That's fine.
Okay.
I'm used to that.
I just want to make sure that we're clear on this.
Get in line.
Yeah.
You know?
What?
I'm still a little more excited than I thought I would be. But the thing that I like, and yesterday afternoon's game was a pretty good example. They're competitive, and that's all I want to see. You know, I want to be able to see some chances. And just to have them be competitive night in, night out as much as they possibly can be. No matter how long the season is, they're going to have nights off. And that's where the Fire Sackos come, and how can we continue to watch this? But they've been competitive lately, and I'll take that every game. They may not win. I don't need them to win every game. Really, I don't, because they're not going to. But I just want, you know, big chances, taking advantage, and just something entertaining.
Yeah.
And that's been there with O'Reilly or without O'Reilly. O'Reilly would help, obviously, and you know, we'll kind of see what happens with that whole scenario. But my excitement's it's there. I'm not as excited as I have been in the past. And that's, I think every fan can say that.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's been good.
You know what? I haven't even looked. Did they paint thank you fans on the ice again?
No, they didn't. There were some people who were like,
son of a bitch!
Go ahead and try and say that again and see how that goes. So how about you? Are you, now I know you're not going to, you don't want to go to a lot of games.
I don't want to go to any games, but I'm probably going to break that for one because pre-shout out, Spongy Monkey on Twitter. Oh, yeah. He's coming out here to visit, and so he wants to go to a game.
I'll have a ticket for you, I imagine, at some point, too. So it's definitely not going to be the money, but other than that, how are you doing? Our show helps, though. I have to admit that. Yes. I have to admit that.
Yeah, no, I was, again, the manageability of the smaller season. I don't feel like I have to watch every game of a 82 game season. And sometimes I feel like when I fall behind, I'm like, I really want to, you know, and I get out of a groove or whatnot. They're compressed. There's a lot of games right now, just in general. I mean, once this freaky cartoon show on this Sunday morning.
I don't know what this is. I'm freaking out, though.
But whatever it is before the NBC game that starts in a few minutes on this Sunday morning, which is Penn's Caps.
The guy just did the splits.
I love his mustache. It's like Salvador Dali. This could be the Salvador Dali hour of
it could be
cartooning.
There's definitely some crack involved in creating this show.
Man.
All right.
Anyways, the point being. So there's so many games right now in such a small amount of time, and it's easy to get wrapped back up in it. And I guess I was kind of last season I was kind of losing a bit of my fan edge obsession, I guess. I was kind of tired of it. Right now, I'm feeling a lot better about it, but I'm still, I hate the business side of these things. I mean, I understand it's always been a business, but when you get slapped around by that business, I don't feel good about it. I don't want to give the owners my money. End of story. I mean, I'm giving them to them by Game Center Live, but I get every game, for the price of one Pepsi Center ticket.
Yeah.
So
that's
what can you do?
Yeah.
I'm a little more excited about this team. I'm a little more excited when they're proving that the norm of being scored on in the penalty kill isn't the actual norm. That it seemed horrible.
And
we'll get to that.
Yeah, that's a whole nother we're gonna freak out thing, that's for sure. I mean, watching the PK and the way it was working or not working. I think they gave up seven power play goals in two games.
Something like that.
Whoa.
That's a lot. Wasn't it four power play? Or who scored every goal in the power play? Was it Vancouver?
San Jose?
Oh, yeah.
It's one of those two. The Patrick Marleau show? Yeah, that was ugly. So it's good to watch him bounce back.
I just saw this. I want to bring this up in the standings. In the Eastern Conference, five teams have gone to the shootout. In the Western Conference, 14 teams have gone to the shootout. Care to guess who the only one that didn't go to the shootout was?
The Colorado Avalanche.
You're correct, sir.
We're now watching Flames Blackhawks highlights. Shout out to Huffy. Yeah. Okay, sorry.
Okay, that's all right.
So, yeah, we're excited. We're not as excited as we usually
Raymond
are.
Here comes Raymond Bork's son.
Raymond Bork never scored the only goal in a 1-0 game. I saw that stat today. I was like,
really?
Who keeps track of that? Yeah, but now his son has. So Elias. That's good.
Elias or whatever it is that sports,
they're
where you can like plug
in
anything, and it's like every little detail.
Yeah.
Who had acne only on the right side of their nose?
Alex Tanga.
When scoring while on their back.
That's right. Sorry, Alex Tanga. That was
mean. In Alberta.
That was mean. Did you know that Alex Tanga and Milan Hayduk are the only people left from that Avalanche team, the 2001 team,
active players
playing in the NHL?
Really?
Yeah, that made me, I guess, feel old and kind of sad. Wow. But that's all right. All right.
Okay, sorry, guys. That was a little bit of a digression that you are not privy to because, well,
that's all we do.
This is radio or audio.
Let's get into this season. Here you go.
Oh, thank you.
James has touched my iPad.
Yeah, I'm sorry about that. And this seems very manufactured, my iPad touching right now, because I didn't actually, like, you know, you had to hold it up for me to touch.
Yeah, that's all right.
Oh, I lost my mojo.
All right. iPad touching. All taken care of for those of you that care about that kind of thing. All right. Apologetic letters from the Avalanche. So the Avalanche give you a half sheet of paper signed, quote unquote, by Josh Kroenke, the governor of the Avalanche, Greg Sherman, and it looks like his signature he had to try a couple different times for his first name, Joe Sacco and Gabriel Landeskog. Welcome to opening night at Pepsi Center. We apologize to all our fans for the lack of hockey these past 4 months. We appreciate and understand the hard work that must be done to win back your support and earn your trust. We do not take lightly the responsibility of ensuring that your experience exceeds the level of passion and enthusiasm that you provide our sport, team, and players on a daily basis. Our slogan is Caps, worn with pride. And we want to live up to that every night and every game on and off the ice. It's time to focus on the future and give you the exciting hockey you deserve by playing hard and playing to win. Let's drop the puck.
Let's forget that any of this ever happened.
Yeah, but as fans, like, I think the fans deserve Ryan O'Reilly some way, somehow. And again, whatever.
The fans deserve Ryan O'Reilly, but again, what are we talking about? We're talking about exactly why this thing was produced, why this letter with the photocopy signatures was produced, and that is business. It's the biz. And the Avalanche have a pre salary cap era way of running their business, and they still do. And so O'Reilly, they're going to just try and pre-cap it. And when they can't, they'll trade him. We'll get back, you know, Daniel Winnick.
Can you imagine the feedback if they trade him?
It'll be ugly.
It's going to be
ugly. But you know what they're going to do.
It'll be ugly either way.
They'll plaster Landeskog and Duchesne up so to try and make you forget about it.
But here's what I'm a little worried about, and then we'll get into the games. Like, does this ruin any chance of Ryan O'Reilly staying with the Avalanche for longer than his unrestricted free agent status?
No.
Free agent. You don't think so?
No.
You think he still has a chance of being here past his restricted free agent status?
Well, I guess that depends on the contract that he gets. I mean, if they lowball him and completely and stay with that for good, or make him sit out a season.
That's what I'm a little worried about.
But if there is a good compromise, then I think he'd come back. Then I think he'd stick around.
So it makes it that much more important, because I'd like to see him. I think all of us would like to see him with the Avalanche for as long as possible. Mm-hmm. Like, that's why I really liked naming Landeskog captain, because he doesn't have the bigger deal yet, obviously, just for money reasons, because they don't need to do that. But that investment, he's going to be around for a long time, and I like that. And Duchesne, I'm hoping, you know, this – I don't know how much emotion and, like, nostalgia plays into his decision, but I know the Avalanche were his favorite team growing up. I know Joe Sakic was a hero of his. You know, hopefully he'd want to stay around as well. He's got the 2-year deal that'll take him. I think he's still a restricted free agent at the end of that deal too, or something. Yeah. I can't remember exactly how that works, but the potential of having those three guys around for a really long time, that's exciting to me, and that would make me want to keep following the team. Yeah. Now, if the Ryan O'Reilly deal, you know, ends up, you know, being a big mess and everything else, then they're back to square one again. Right. So I don't know. We'll see.
I think you lose a lot when you lose O'Reilly, but you have to. I don't know. I feel like if they do lose him, it will be you're losing a ton. What do you actually gain back? And I think the returns on O'Reilly would be pretty decent.
Yeah.
But you'd never know, because O'Reilly's already got his chemistry with the team. And if there's one thing that this team seemed to lack right off the bat, it was chemistry.
And that built over time, though. From what I hear, this team is pretty tight. They're all pretty young guys too. So I don't know.
Except for Hayduk, who plays his 1,000th game in the next game.
He's just old. That's the whole thing. But man, congrats to 23. We'll talk. Okay. Maybe we can throw some career numbers out in our next show. But they're cool little splash screen on theavalanche.com when you go to their site with featuring Milan Hayduk, who will play. I believe, it's tomorrow night in his 1,000th game in an Avalanche uniform. So that's
Monday cool. night just, against Dallas.
You just don't see that very often. And, he's obviously a total class act. And it's
broadcast on NBC Sportsnet.
That's right. So that's going to be fun. Maybe Pierre McGuire will be here.
Maybe they can get some cameo time with Peter McNabb.
Yes.
And talk about how great he is.
That'd be fun.
Peter McNabb. Who went into the stands in Boston.
Yes, he did.
Don't forget that, people.
Don't let anybody forget that.
He will call his friend Mike Milbury.
They'll beat you
with your own shoe.
That's right. Or skate.
Okay, so if they trade O'Reilly, we can expect to see another signed note of apology from the team. No.
I'd like to see what that says. So,
dear fans.
Sorry. All right. January 19th, the Avalanche lose the season opener against the Wild 4-2. I didn't really take a whole lot of notes from that game, but we can just...
No, but one thing about that game, of course, is that Minnesota was the team that had the gigantic signings in the offseason with Suter, Parise, and Suter. Parise got an assist. Mm-hmm. Whatever. But it was, oddly, Danny Heatley that really put the dagger in the Avs.
I don't like it when Danny Heatley scores. I don't know why, but I just don't.
Do you just not like Danny Heatley in general, or do you not like that he's not on the Avs and scores?
I don't know. A little bit of both.
There was that. There was still that moment. I don't know if I talked about it on here at all or not, but watching the playoffs when Danny Heatley was with the Sharks and Coach Todd McClellan's going up and down the bench and yelling at people, and Danny Heatley just has this "I'm not even listening to anything" look on his face. He's totally zoned out. Yeah. Doesn't care. Not long, and next season, traded. Gone. Bye.
Later, dude.
Oh, you know what? Looking at Danny Heatley's mugshot in Three Stars of the Game, God, just looks like a jerk. Tool-alicious.
That's right. All right, what
jerk
else?
Jerk is the word that I was looking for.
Jerk? You found it. Then the Avalanche win their home opener.
Yeah.
On January 22nd, 3-1 against the defending Stanley Cup champions, mm-hmm. Los Angeles Kings. Decent game, I guess.
Yeah.
That was
Kings were in free fall, and so it was hard to judge whether or not. I mean, when we were watching that game, they weren't in free fall yet. But the Kings, it took a long time for them to win their first game, and you know, the Stanley Cup hangover, cliche, whatnot. So it's hard to say. Oh, was this actually the Avs, or was this the Kings falling apart, as they seem to be doing? But now their Kings seem to be getting their collective backsides together.
When you have a lot of talent, that'll do it. So, also a nervous moment for Avalanche fans. Matt Duchene took a Drew Doughty slap shot off his chin.
Yeah, and you know what? Who would have thought that a slap shot to the chin would be the least of the concerns of injuries for any of these players, because of who else has been beating that crap out of?
John Mitchell has he broke his face.
Frankenstein.
Yeah, it's pretty awesome. But it seems like, I guess, you know, Milan Hayduk hasn't scored, so I posted a tweet that said, you know, we'd really like Milan Hayduk to score, so someone blast him in the face with a puck, please, stat, you know, because it seems like, especially for Duchene is, he's entering a whole nother level in his career already. You can see it already. Something happened, or he's just getting bigger, faster, stronger, getting a little bit older. You know, he just turned 22, but man, it's a whole nother level for him so far this year. I've been really pleased with what I've seen from him, and it's pretty exciting to watch.
What was the thing? What's the one thing we always banged on about with Duchene? What was his puck hog? Mm-hmm. Never passed the puck. What's he been doing? Passing the puck right now. Seven assists. 2 goals, 7 assists.
Yep.
That you would think would be somewhat backwards.
Yeah.
The way that he has been playing, he hasn't been doing as much of splitting the defense, although he's tried a couple times.
But actually he's starting to do it though too, where he's getting he's got enough speed to where he actually does it.
That's the thing.
Or draws a penalty.
When you see him on the ice in the last few seasons, what did you know? You knew he wasn't going to pass.
Yeah.
Now he's got another tool in his bag. What's he going to do? He's less readable. The book is not quite as legible, let's say.
That's right.
As is now with, like, oh, I don't know, Alexander Ovechkin out there pulling NASCAR laps behind his net. Did you see that?
NASCAR laps?
Oh, my God. He did like 2 laps around without passing, just behind his net, out to the blue line, and back around again.
If I'm on his line, I just go off. I'm like, yeah, I'm done. You go out there and don't get past 2. I mean, I'm not doing that anymore.
Yeah, imagine that. Oh, and right now, it's Ovechkin with Crosby.
Crosby, Alex Ovechkin.
Oh, again. Remember when that mattered?
Not anymore.
So anyways, Duchene.
I've been like, I've been really happy with, and there's, believe me, because I'm such a Landeskog fan, I was such a Sakic fan, Forsberg fan. It's it's tough to really latch on to, you know, something, but it's like, man, he's a whole nother level this year, and it's so exciting to watch.
He didn't make it easy to latch onto him.
He made it hard.
Yeah. And now it's a lot better, and that's great. I don't know
what it was, some maturity thing, maybe learned, you know, something. Mike Green's stick is stuck in the boards. Oh, man. But anyways, ouch. Ovechkin hit somebody. Look at this.
Oh.
There's your stick. All right. So he's been a lot of fun to watch.
Yeah.
And I haven't been able to say that the last few seasons. It's like, dude, give the puck up or whatever.
Yeah.
He's that much quicker, faster, stronger. And
I wonder how much playing in, where is it, Switzerland?
Switzerberg? Yeah. Switzlandia.
Icelandicog?
I don't know. I know the fans really, when he left Switzerland, I know the fans gave him a huge ovation, and I never saw any highlights. I saw maybe a goal or two, but I wonder what he looked like out there with those guys and how much
he had lots of advertising on.
Yeah, that's what he looked like. We knew that for sure. But I mean, something happened that I like.
Yeah.
And I'll put my finger on it sometime later. But he's been, you know, with Landeskog out and with O'Reilly out, he's really shined, and that's exciting to see. Speaking of more injuries, January 23rd, it was announced that Steve Downey tore his right ACL and will be out for the season.
He was a hitting machine. He was in against the Wild, he took too many damn penalties. And then against the Kings, he was hitting anything.
Yeah.
And I wonder if that was just not feeling effective, you know, if like he just is having a hard time finding his place. Cause sometimes it's just, you know, okay, I got to go with what I know. And that's just hitting everything.
I wasn't impressed so far this year, but I know the team's better with him than without him.
Yeah.
Cause then you bring up an Olver or a Scarbosa or someone who just,
well, Malone got brought up, but that was
for one
game. Yeah. That was for the Landeskog basically. Yeah. Right.
So I don't know.
Well, if one thing with the, we've got what's his name? Bordy. Did you call him Big Sexy?
No, that's Ryan O'Byrne. And that's what the players call him. Stop saying that's what I call him, because I only call him that every once in a while.
Uh-huh. Late at night.
Yes.
Anyways.
Wow, you lost your train of thought real quick, trying to rip on me. You were talking about Steve Downey.
Bordalo is not super effective.
No.
But he's a tough guy.
He's all right. He's got good hands.
And in a way, same thing with O'Byrne. I mean, and O'Brien, played, I don't even remember what game he got called up in, but he was horrible.
Yeah.
It was Vancouver.
Yeah.
He was horrible. We'll get to that in a second. The thing with Downey is that he can hit and he can play. And Cody McLeod has been stepping more into that too.
Absolutely.
His game has actually picked up.
I agree.
And he's still being tough. He seems less intimidating than he was, but he's still second overall in penalty minutes to Adam Foote.
Right.
Fight leader.
Number one in franchise history in fighting majors. Yeah. Yep.
Going back to the Quebec Nordiques.
Rycroft was telling a story where they were down in Lake Erie together. He said, man, all I want is just, you know, my chance in the NHL. And however many games later, he's a kind of a fixture. How many years was he signed last? Was it a 4-year deal or something like that? I mean, this team believes in him, and
$1.15 million average per year.
He brings it every night.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't have to, you know, for many of the players, you have to wonder every once in a while which of those players is going to show up.
Yep.
The same Cody McLeod shows up every single night. Mm-hmm. And I think the team appreciates that, and he definitely has earned his spot on the roster.
Who would you rather have on the ice with you, Kobesu or McLeod?
Well, and tell you what, Kobesu has not looked terrible lately either. So, I know.
What a way of putting it.
Chuckle. He hasn't looked terrible. He hasn't looked like the regular Chuck Kobesu.
Does he look good? Well, he doesn't look terrible.
The guys are starting. I think it takes especially young team a little time to be able to find their role on the team. Like an Olver, a Kobesu.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the role for a lot of other guys is going to be the same no matter what. But when you move, like, say, a Scarbosa from the third or fourth line to the second, he's on the second line of the power play on the point now.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think it takes a little time for those guys to be able to know their role.
Oh god,
you know, find their role, and that's starting to happen as the team, I guess, gets somewhat healthier. But it's the injuries don't help at all in the fact that you have the shortened season, and the players need to be able to make those adjustments quicker because each game counts, you know, for a little bit more. So,
well, just because you have injuries, they don't make you play 46 games.
No,
or 44. You have to still skate them all.
It's true. You just don't have as much time to be able to.
The Panthers coach the other day ripped his team, ripped them, and the media asked him, "Well, you know, what about injuries?" He said, "Injuries don't matter in games like this. You still have to go out there and skate. We lost 7-2.
It's true.
It's like,
that's a good point. You can't argue with that.
Nope."
On late January 23rd, early January 24th, Ryan O'Reilly was released from his KHL contract for a few different reasons. There's a couple. I mean, something coming up about the playoffs, and they wouldn't have to pay
him.
They
had to submit a finalized roster for and because of the NHL coming back and he had the out, they decided.
There was no guarantee. But, plus, he's a little hurt. He's got a hurt ankle, I guess a mild ankle sprain or something like that. And for a hockey player, that's kind of a big deal.
Yeah.
So the rumor is maybe the Avalanche are waiting for him to get healthy before they give him an offer. But the other rumor is that no one has talked to the Avalanche or O'Reilly's camp in the last week.
Mm-hmm.
So how hard is everybody working to make this happen? And are we looking for excuses not to give him an offer and things like that?
Right.
So that's a developing story. Ryan O'Reilly hasn't been signed yet, everyone. So just to let you know, because I know you didn't know that yet. I'm sick of talking about Ryan O'Reilly. All right, January 26th, the Avalanche lost.
Whoa, hello. What's right above that?
Oh, did you want to talk about? I was going to go back to that.
Oh, okay.
We can talk about Greg Zannon's beard, though. Is that what you're talking about?
That's what I was talking about.
Greg Zannon's beard. The Twitter account's pretty funny. If you're not following yet, it's Zannon's beard on Twitter. Mm-hmm. The more I watch him play, the less funny his beard is to me, though. he and Ryan O'Byrne really struggled against the Oilers, keeping up with their young, fast guys yesterday. That was kind of bugging me, and hopefully that's not an ongoing thing.
He looks like Bob Mould with a beard, the lead singer of Husker Du and Sugar.
I don't know that guy.
Okay, for those of you who are cool and don't just listen to hip-hop, you'll understand what I'm talking about.
I don't just listen to hip-hop. Stop picking on me.
I'm not going to stop picking on
you. All right. His beard doesn't have – this is a – we'll post this. This is a Puck Daddy article about his beard. It doesn't have a name. It does have its own Twitter feed. It does act as a force field, which I was not surprised to hear. It's actually a surrogate for the hairy locks on his head. I'll leave that one alone. And his wife doesn't like it. I mean, there was an interview with, I think, he and Julie Brownman between periods, and it's just like there's no way that thing can be comfortable. But
nobody actually noticed this, but because Matt Duchene took a puck to the chin.
John Mitchell
took a puck to the face. Zannon's actually taken a puck to the beard, but nobody noticed because the thing is titanium.
It's probably still in there. The puck is. It just kind of the beard just ate it up.
Yeah, this is. This is one of those classic examples of a player that you love for reasons other than
just for no reason.
Watching them actually playing, his play right now is not. It's not. Hey, we went after you in free agency worthy.
No, it's really not. So, and hopefully, it gets better. The Avalanche have some larger guys on the blue line. You got your big sexy O'Byrnes. You've got Jan Hatta.
Yeah,
you've got.
Jan Hatta hasn't looked bad lately.
No, he hasn't. He's made things, and I posted a couple tweets, nice defensive play by Jan Hatta, and my hashtag was things I don't get to say very often. Yeah. And he has. He's looked better. And he, he almost scored against Luongo. Mm-hmm. He stepped into the slap shot, and it was a rocket. So he has that potential. It's just you're looking for him to string it together in more than a period or a game.
He has that potential, but who are we healthy scratching? O'Brien. And O'Brien has earned it.
What did O'Brien do? That's kind of. I was talking to some fans yesterday at the game. Did he come back not in shape and just basically because I know he didn't play anywhere. Maybe he just came back and not in shape and really pressed everybody's buttons the wrong way. I don't know
if his play on the ice has was reflected at all in training camp. I can see why.
Yeah,
because his play on the ice when he played against Vancouver and we haven't even gotten to Columbus yet.
Yeah,
was crap.
Yeah. I don't know. So we'll see. It's good to know you have a guy like O'Brien that you're healthy scratching and will be available eventually. But the way he's looked so far and has he played in one or two games, he hasn't looked good at all.
I think so.
Yeah. So the Avalanche shut out the Blue Jackets 4-0 on January 24th.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see. I already talked about the Sharks game. First Oilers game.
Blue Jackets real fast.
Go ahead.
Blue Jackets are looking like the Blue Jackets. This was a game that people got excited about because of the LA Kings. The win over the LA Kings, and then the Blue Jackets come in and the Avs shut them out. Blue Jackets still look like the Blue Jackets. They are not the measuring stick, people.
No,
it's
but a win is great,
and 2 points is more important now than it was in last year because of the compression. I get that, but you don't get to play 48 games against the Blue Jackets. Wait until we see the Blackhawks.
Yeah, that's some pretty good measuring stick right now.
That's a huge measuring stick. Wait until we see the Blackhawks. We've already seen San Jose and Vancouver, who are both tops in the divisions. I'm shocked that Anaheim is doing as well. We haven't even touched Detroit yet,
Wins are good. 500 makes you feel pretty good, especially after they had that stretch of one goal in three games. But
I'm just saying that if the measuring stick is going to be Columbus, get a better measuring stick.
Okay.
All right.
I'll look for one. January 26th, big play in the 4-0 loss to the Sharks was a Brad Stewart hit on Gabriel Landeskog. We saw Landeskog for the rest of that game, but apparently he's out. They haven't been real specific as far as why he's out. He's on the injured reserve as of Friday, February 1st.
Mm-hmm.
But you saw the hit. What'd you think?
Concussion Junction. What's your function?
There's that in his leg as well. But what'd you think about – is it a suspendable hit? I mean, this is
– I thought it was a suspendable hit, but the way that the language works – is they're the NHL is pussyfooting around with headshots. If it becomes primary point of contact. It becomes so subjective. There was a hit. There was a hit the other day with on Wade Simmons. Was it Erskine? The hit Wade Erskine, Simmons.
Yeah.
He basically elbow right to the head. There's a ref watching the play, looking right at the play. A linesman looking right at the play. No penalty. Dude gets suspended for 3 games.
It's 3 games. Then on the other hand, too, you've got the – did you see the David Backus hit on Kent Huskins for the Red Wings?
Oh, yeah, didn't even
He didn't touch his head, hit him right in the chest, match penalty for going after the guy's head, and he gets tossed from the game.
Right.
So there's something – there's some happy place in between where we can try and
absolutely
find it.
But it's that subjectiveness of how many criteria do you need in this to make the right call in an instant? And, you know, you have that checklist that you have to go down, and primary point of contact is one of those things that if you're turned the wrong way, if the guy who's hitting is between you and the other guy, you might not see where that primary point of contact is. If a goaltender can get screened from a goal, a ref can get screened from a penalty. And so part of the subjectiveness is that primary point of contact. I say take it away, ban headshots, be done with it. Be done. Try it for a year. Try it in the AHL. In fact, try it in the AHL, and then when you go up to the NHL, you're going to be kind of trained against it, just like visors. Everybody who wears visors in all the lower leagues, they come up, they don't generally take off their visor because they're used to it.
Yeah.
So when you have this kind of subjectiveness, when you have the should we, shouldn't we, when you have that checklist, it doesn't help. And I thought it should have been a penalty for an elbow. I thought it should have been suspended for 1 game. And one game doesn't seem like a lot. It seems like more in a compressed season. Just, put the message out there. Don't make it as subjective.
So much of some of that subjectivity is whether the guy is hurt, apparently, as well. Mm. Huskins got the wind knocked out of him, and he was in a lot of pain on the bench. Mm-hmm. Landis got – what did Simmons come back? Was he out for a while?
Simmons did not come back.
No, he didn't come back.
No.
The thing about the Landeskog thing, and somebody posted a tweet that said that the only thing Landeskog did wrong was be a tough SOB, because he got up, he skated off the ice, went to the locker room, came back and completed the game.
Right.
So I think the depth of his injury didn't show until a little bit later, and I know the league always takes that into account. How hurt was the guy that got hit?
And he wasn't announced as being out of the out until after the league had decided not to look at Stewart.
And I think that plays a factor in it as well, to where he did whatever he needed to do as far as on the bench or in the locker room to be able to get back into that game.
Right.
So that was kind of a kicker.
So the question
as well
is, was it fair that Stewart didn't get any suspension or even looked at?
I mean, not in my eyes.
I don't think so.
I'm an Avalanche fan too, and I know how much Brad Stewart means to the Kings, and I know how to the Sharks, and I know how much Gabriel Landeskog means to the Avalanche.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, that was not cool.
Man. I want to see O'Byrne fight Max Talbot, and it'd be Big Sexy versus Free Candy.
Oh.
That'd be awesome.
That could be a half hour special, I think.
There's somebody out there that's giggling right now. And I want you, whoever you are, to take a look at your soul.
And don't
call
us.
Congratulate yourself, because that's pretty awesome.
Absolutely. I didn't have a problem with what Ryan O'Byrne did. I know Brad Stewart was kind of expecting. I'm sure he was expecting something like that.
How did the Sharks announcers feel about it?
Oh, I was not real pleased. The thing is, you just flip the whole thing around, and let's say it's Ryan Wilson laying out Thornton or Marlowe or, I don't know, Pavelski.
Mm-hmm.
I guarantee you they wouldn't be saying the same thing.
Yeah.
And I really do try and look at it from both perspectives and stuff like that before I try and make comments. Believe me, if things were flipped, they would have said something totally different.
Now, O'Byrne got the fighting major.
2-2, 5-10.
Right. Instigator with wearing a face shield.
With a shield.
So you're supposed to drop your helmet and then instigate?
Yes. You're supposed to be responsible. You know, credit to Adam Burrish, too. Adam Burrish wanted to take on O'Byrne to kind of protect Stewart, and right as they kind of engaged, Burrish actually threw up his hands. I don't know if you guys watched the replay of when that whole thing started,
Burrish throws up his hands because he doesn't want that third man. Mm-hmm. And he kind of tries to sneak his way out. I mean, he made it obvious. He didn't want any part of that, just so nothing got thrown.
He put on glasses and a mustache. And
hey, that's not Adam Burrish.
Put on a hat and a beard. And
he was having diversions and everything. Hey, look over there.
Ask somebody what year it was.
There's something sparkly. But good for Ryan O'Byrne for doing that.
Patrick Marleau, two freaking goals.
Yeah, and then Marleau scores on both of the power plays, and that's your end of your game. And boy, Mosier was fired up. It was. I was listening to that on the radio. It was great.
Three power play goals against, and I believe that last goal was like 2 seconds after a power play expired. Yeah, it was. So
hopefully that's their worst stretch, and that's the Avalanche's longest road trip of the year too. That 4-game road trip.
Yeah.
So that's exciting to know too.
The thing is that we talk about it. Everybody talks about it. Stay out of the penalty box, discipline game, blah blah blah. That was the thing that helped them with the Kings game. And with the Blue Jackets, other than the Blue Jackets being the Blue Jackets, that they stayed out of the penalty box as much as possible. And then in this game, started taking stupid penalties. And not the O'Byrne one, okay, fine. What are you going to do?
No, that's not stupid. Yeah.
But after that, it got kind of stupid. So how about you go back to that game plan that worked for you before?
Yeah,
I mean, was it different players then too?
Yeah, that's the thing.
Wasn't Greg Zannon that took a hooking penalty in one of those recent games that just was probably one of the dumbest hooking penalties I've ever seen? And it's so obvious. Why do you do this?
Zannon's not fast and hidden, and it really showed yesterday against the Oilers, who are young and fast. And he's going to have some trouble this year, and hopefully, maybe he's just trying to get his legs underneath him or whatever.
It's drag from the beard. It's the wind in his beard. It slows him down.
It could be. They forgot that in their list of facts, but. All right, what else? January 28th against the Edmonton Oilers, the Avalanche lost 4-1. Mm-hmm. Bunch of power play goals they give up again. And you have your tweets there. Is there anyone you want to highlight real quick?
Iceblurg. I don't know. I tweeted a bunch during that game. And here's the thing. It was so sad that I just wanted to be funny.
Just clean the snow off my car. I'm officially more productive than the Avalanche tonight. I like that one.
You have score? I take it all back. I regret nothing.
Avalanche?
I take none of it back.
LOL. Yeah. So that was painful as well. And then we haven't seen Shane O'Brien think. Then the Avalanche lose that next game 3-0 on the road against the Canucks. Mm-hmm. Dater goes off after the game. Really hard to argue a lot of the points that he was making. We can post a link to that. Although I know Dater links make us all feel a little bit dirty.
I take responsibility for that because I wrote that in a post on my site,
yes,
jerseysandhockeylove.com, about the fact that those guys don't generally link to their sources.
No.
Come on, guys. It's a big world. It's a world wide web.
We're all trying to help each other here. Yeah.
No, we're not trying to help each other. It's just what you do. You cite your sources.
Yeah.
I mean, that's generally good practice anyways. But
even if you are the beat writer, it's okay.
Yeah, even if you miss something and somebody else picked it up, whatever.
Everybody's better for that.
He basically he blasted the organization. He blasted them for basically having their head buried in the sand and all that positive garbage. When it is garbage, I mean, I love being positive, but when you're selling a bag of goods, it's not a sack of goods. It's not a bill of goods now. It's a bag. We put them all into a bag because you needed a bag because there's so many of them.
Paper, plastic, or powder.
I don't even know what I'm saying anymore. we know it, and we know the McNabb-isms. We know the completely positive
hard work down low.
Hard work down low, good hard work down low is so often
it's great hockey play.
It's on your bingo card. It's on your McNabb bingo card, and all 25 squares are the same square. Everybody wins every game. Mm-hmm. We get it. We know. And that's the corporate line. But the fans don't act like corporate clients. We're not. This is not a B2B business.
I try and stay away from that. For sure.
Yeah. We talk about how we actually feel about it. We didn't like Duchesne when Duchesne was being a pig. Right now we like Duchesne because Duchesne's picked up his stuff.
Yeah.
That's fine.
He's being a pig.
I couldn't think of anything else. Yeah. His nickname in the locker room is Suey.
Piggy. Yeah. And then Mike Chambers also from the Post. The thing is, I think Dater hints at this a little more often. I don't see Chambers do this very often where he sends out a couple tweets. Avalanche not playing well on trip. No argument. But when you combine no Landeskog, no Downey, no O'Reilly, and little concern with ownership, the Avalanche has a little depth up front, missing three key forwards, $18 million under the cap. This is not a coaching or a GM problem. Look at the NBA owner. Barry Scarbosa looked good tonight, and hunger within players, executives is high. Commitment to win only lacking with Kroenke Sports Entertainment. So touching iPad. Nice. But yeah, you don't see the guys get on that kick very often, but I guess the timing was pretty good because the Avalanche had scored one goal in three games.
Mm-hmm.
So let's just pile on and get people excited. But what they were saying made some sense as well. So somewhere in between.
Well, there's no balanced approach coming from certain media outlets. Everything's either great and you're high in the sky or it's all doom and gloom. And so
in a 48 game season, yeah, it kind of feels that way.
But in general, even with those guys, I mean, it's just their tone. They tend to say, we don't have anything good to say, or hey, things are really great. And I like a little bit more balanced approach. It's hard to see solid analysis. And this comes from Altitude. This comes from the Denver Post. Yeah. This comes from various other media sources that it's hard to say, yes, this is good analysis here. This is some insightful stuff when your message is so one way or the other, when it's black and white, everything is positive or it's everything's doom and gloom.
Just trying to find a happy place in between, and where if the game doesn't play, the game doesn't play out very well, or the team doesn't play well, and that's going to happen in no matter how long the season is. They're going to have games where things aren't quite right.
Mm-hmm.
And then, trying to find it where you don't get too high, too low. And it's pretty dynamic so far. So December 31st, the Avalanche beat the Flames 6-3. They finally score some goals. John Mitchell with his third and fourth goal of the year. Once they started scoring, it felt pretty good. Win or lose, I was in that place to where, one goal in three games and then they score a couple. It just felt real good. I'm sure the team felt better too. But he scored his third and fourth. Last year, this was game seven of the season for the Avalanche. He had five all last year with the Rangers in 63 games played. So
He's
really taken advantage of his opportunities. So that's good to see, especially with a smashed face. So I think once he heals up and maybe if he starts to struggle again, he just smash his face again and there you go. Everything okay?
Wait, what did you say?
What?
About the Rangers? What?
He had five goals in 63 games played last year with the Rangers.
Who?
John Mitchell?
Oh, I'm sorry. I was looking at somebody else.
Yeah. He's playing well. So good for him. He's playing well on both ends of the ice.
I zoned out for a second there.
Yeah. Kobesu had a really nice feed to him in this game. So, like I said, not as craptastic as usual. Mm. I did my little Twitter psychic thing before the game and before the third period. I said Paul Stastny was going to score a power play goal, and then he did. So he made me look smart, and that's not very easy. Ask James. See how he agreed with me real quick.
No, actually, I think that you're wrong. If you take off that cap and gown, you'd look a little more normal, but still.
I just wear it whenever I can. Yeah. I try not to make it awkward. So shout out to everybody that on Twitter that said, hey, nice job on that one. That was a lot of fun to watch.
We're not going to name you.
Watch my stuff. So let's see what else. Mike Haynes during the game.
Uh-huh.
This was just so classic. And I thought of James, my podcast partner, because I don't think James, my podcast partner, would. No, but I think if I started the sentence the way that Mike Haynes did, you would have interrupted real quick. And I blame Peter McNabb because McNabb really should have said something.
Either I would have interrupted or I would have just sat there with my mouth open.
Yeah. Like, or you would have laughed in the middle of it. Exactly. And I've had those moments by myself, but that's the advantage of having chemistry with a partner. But
I would play it.
Oh, so here, I'll say it first and then I'll play it. So
do you have to say it first?
No, I don't have to say it. All right, check it out. Here you go. Mike Haynes after P.A. Parenteau's goal. I can't remember when the goal was, but who cares? Here you go.
About Parenteau, that's his fourth of the year. He's a goal scorer because the shots go in when he takes them.
Thank you, Mike Haynes.
You see that down there? Now the football. Who that reminds me of? That's
John Madden.
John Madden. Totally John Madden.
I hadn't thought of it that way.
Now when you catch a football
and you get it into the end zone, that's a touchdown.
That's a touchdown. That's worth some points. And if you score more touchdowns, this is my horrible Madden impersonation. Yeah. I sound more like I'm on Hee Haw.
Yeah. More whiskey, please.
More points than the other team. Then you're a winner.
Yeah. Yeah, so Mike Haynes, it's tough. I know it's got to be tough game in, game out. But you could hear him early in the sentence that it was just not going to go well. And I think McNabb either should have like grabbed his hand, been like, you know what, Mike, abort that real quick.
Yeah.
I'm just going to finish that sentence.
He's going to hold his hand and be like, I'm here to support you, my friend.
But finish the sentence.
You know, he's a goal scorer because the puck goes in.
The puck does go in when he takes it, when he shoots it.
Is that what it takes?
That's what it takes to be a goal scorer.
It reminds me of, do you know who Brian Regan, the comedian Brian Regan is? And he talks about how he wanted to say take care to somebody, but then he midway said, wanted to say good luck. So he wound up saying take luck. Or you too. I screwed up the you too thing. That's almost exactly what it was like.
Well, there's that one. Then there, I think it was an oatmeal or cartoon. I think it was an oatmeal cartoon where you go when you're in the airport and the person at the counter that's taking you and giving you your ticket say, hey, have a nice trip. And you say you too back to them. And they just leave with a sad.
You ever take a trip somewhere.
So that was pretty fantastic. Thank you, Mike Haynes, for that. And I understand your pain for sure. Anybody who does anything like... we don't do what he does, obviously.
Look,
we
record this live,
but we have a chance.
It had been a while since the puck went in the net.
That's true.
That may actually have been good analysis for Avs fans to see.
Oh, that's how that works. Okay. I think that made the game, I think, 2-2 at that point, or 2-1.
The next thing you should have said should have been, hey, if the Avs score more points and goals than the other team, they win.
That could be a victory. I'm not quite sure. That was fantastic. And then... February 2nd, yesterday afternoon,
Avalanche. Wait a minute. One second.
Oilers back up.
Man, we got to back
up
a second.
That's rusty.
Okay. Mika Kiprusoff versus J.S. Chiguer was that game. And Chiguer looked pretty good.
They're drafted the same year. I never even realized that.
Yeah.
They're the same age. I thought Jiggy was way older.
Jiggy is the only active player right now from the Whalers.
From the Whalers. Go Whale.
If he were actually active, and he hasn't retired yet, but come on, it's going to happen. Chris Pronger would be the other one.
Oh, that's right. I don't think he's retired officially, but I know his brother just wrote a book. I saw the preview of it on Puck Daddy. Looked really good.
Yeah.
And they basically asked him that, and he'd say, you know, they said most likely he's not going to play. I imagine if he hasn't played yet, he's not going to play now. Yeah.
Kiprusoff. Remember when Kiprusoff was good?
I remember that.
That was like 2004.
I remember some of the comparisons and contrasts that I've come up with over the years is like, which Northwest division opponent would you like? To, you know, which goalie would you rather have? Would you rather have, you know, like a, I don't think it was, this might have been like pre-Varley too. This could have been, you know, kind of ugly, but Kiprusoff, Backstrom, Luongo, or whoever the Avalanche had in net. And, you know, people were complaining about Kiprusoff, but man, the guys.
It's been a slow decline.
It's been tough to watch.
I believe it's no trade clause and probably a long contract. Right. What are you going to do?
Right.
I saw somebody said that Kiprusoff was part of the reason that Bob Hartley went to coach in in the Flames. And somebody said Kiprusoff's play may be why he doesn't get to stick around.
Wow.
Yeah.
It's been tough. It's been kind of strange to watch that because I've always viewed him as one of the more solid goaltenders in the NHL.
Last right now 1-3-2.
Yeah.
That's six games. That's as many games as Hartley started the season in Atlanta before he got canned from his last NHL job.
I don't care what it is. It's still good to see Bob Hartley behind the bench. Just brings back a lot of good memories. So
at that point, the Avs had won three games. Columbus, Kings, Flames.
Yes.
Right now, Columbus is 13th in the West. LA's 14th in the West. Calgary's 15th in the West. You can't just win against bad teams.
It doesn't hurt, though.
Well, it doesn't hurt. But
beat the teams I guess you're supposed to, whatever that means. I've heard that term before, but it's like, every NHL game is pretty easy, but that's why they play the game. You know, you never know what might happen.
Yeah.
But no, I like your take on let's really get a good feel for how good this Avalanche team is.
Yeah. I mean, they've beaten one playoff team, and that's the game from last night that you were at.
Yeah.
Yesterday afternoon, actually. Yeah. Sorry. Oilers versus Avs.
It was a decent game. I mean, Oilers scored 58 seconds in, and Varley stops every shot since, you know, he stopped 25 straight shots, made some really great saves.
Nailed him. Nailed Yakupov.
Yeah. He's tough. He's good. Yeah. They're a good young team, but they've been a good young team for a while. They better be a good young team with three straight number one picks.
If there is a guy that's in the pressure cooker that's under the microscope more than any other player right now, it's Yakupov. I swear.
You think so? Do you think because of a celebration?
I think because of his celebration, because of obviously the number one overall pick, being the guy that is going to finally get the Oilers out of
True.
Their doldrums, because yeah. he's their third number one overall pick in a row, and the first two it wasn't working. Left his junior team to go play in Russia, talked crap against about the Canadian juniors, and said that they were playing dirty. He's pretty much he's the guy under the microscope right now,
yeah.
and he's still producing.
So
what did you think, by the way, about his celebration when he slid to center ice like he was Theo Fleury?
I like Sutter's reaction where you wanted an unsportsmanlike. Did you catch that one?
No.
Yeah, they showed Sutter on the bench after he had gotten done sliding from blue line and further. And you could see him looking at the ref trying to signal an unsportsmanlike, and he was pointing at both the blue lines. I don't know. I thought it was a little bit much, and I kind of – but some of that is maturity. Some of that spending some time in the league. You see it from Matt Duchene now. Where Duchene used to act like every goal was his first goal and that he's never done it before.
Mm-hmm.
And the two goals that he has scored this year, like it's been like, I can do this.
Yeah.
You know, so it's definitely going to take some growing up. And I think that's just part of the maturity process. I didn't have a huge problem against it or about it. Even if it was against the Avalanche, I don't think I would have, you know, paid as much attention to it. It's probably a lot like the Denver Post thing where people need something to talk about. And that was obviously something that was easy to talk about, but
Don Cherry didn't like it. So I kind of liked it.
Yeah. Just because I thought it was a little much, but I didn't have that big of an issue with it. Yeah. It's not like you're surprised that he does something like that. Cause he and his, you know, a lot of the Russian guys like Ovechkin that's what they do.
Mm.
So
my feeling about it, if you don't have, if you're going to suck all the fun out of the NHL, great place to start. It's not like they're acting like NFL players where every play needs a celebration.
Yeah.
And
gets old.
It was a huge game. It was a huge win. It was a huge goal. And
well, then that wasn't the winner. That just tied the game.
Yeah.
That was,
with
you know,
what, like 6 seconds left.
Yeah. And then they went into overtime. I mean, it was a great goal too. It was about thigh high. He knocked it out of midair.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it was a great goal, but
oh yeah.
Yeah.
I say that if he doesn't keep doing it, over and over every game, then fine.
Yeah. And I don't think he will.
Yeah.
Because I know he scored a big goal a couple games later. It was kind of contested, though, because I think the shot from the point hit somebody's hand and then went straight to him and then went in.
Oh.
He wasn't sure whether he should be celebrating. You could actually see, because I'm always reading the players. The players will actually tell you whether, you know, in baseball, the players, football's the same way. They'll show you whether they caught the ball or not, for the most part, based on how they react. So he had his back against the boards, and he was telling his teammates to come here, but you could see him look over at the official a couple times, making sure they didn't wave it off. So there was something up during that one. But, yeah, it was all right.
Yeah.
I mean, he's a young guy. He'll get used to it. So
what else did you see last night? How was your Pepsi Center experience last night?
Same. I mean, it's like I've been going to the same game for the last 4 or 5 years.
After the Yakupov goal against, did they reload?
You know, they've actually changed a little bit of the music, which helps.
Really?
So they don't. Was that Rob Zombie? I think it was.
No,
the Reload or whatever.
Metallica.
Reload.
I believe it's off the album Reload or Reloaded.
From
Metallica.
That's a safe bet. You know, they've changed it up. They've changed up the song when the Avalanche. I think when the Avalanche take a penalty, it's the same song. When they go on the power play, they change that song too. So they've done little things.
We're gonna take it. No,
I've thought about that.
They couldn't. Yes, you are.
You are.
We're not gonna.
Yes,
take
you are.
It. You're in the box.
You're gonna stay there.
So
it's still pretty much the same shtick.
Yeah.
It gets on my nerves after a while, but then again, I go to more games than most fans do, I guess. But I just like something different, just something to pay attention to, something that'll kind of remind you that you're not at an Avalanche game 4 years ago. So besides a couple songs, they haven't changed much. But I also understand that they probably, during the lockout, weren't allowed to work on stuff like that.
Yeah.
They had to put their efforts in if they weren't laid off or cut back drastically on the other Kroenke Sports Entertainment teams. So I guess I understand that. They do have a cool thing now when the team scores. It's the same song, but then at the end of the song, they have like a big dancing head of like, so like when McGinn scored his goal yesterday, it's a big dancing head. And then they have like graphics that are of the body's about 20% of the size of the head. And then it's dancing around. It's one thing I noticed that won't get me to go to more games, but it is something different and I'll take different.
I would love to go, whoever does the end game. I would love to see them take them to a Cutthroats game.
Yeah.
And go, see, this is how you do it.
Yeah, I know. And it's changed over years. Like I know you like the Monty Python. I always liked Chris Farley. You know, I swear I've seen a lot of stuff in my life that was awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Also, some of the fight scenes after some of the fights were great too.
Outstanding.
Yeah. Stupendous.
Stupendous.
Yeah, whatever. So
magnanimous.
Same old thing.
Letting his pug in.
Yeah, whatever it is, with an accent. All right, a couple hockey porns. It looked like Stastny was going to sneak that one in. Right. Thank you, Mike Haynes. The AHP After Hours. Also, the headline in the, on the hockey page of the sports section, the day after Landeskog got hit, it has a picture of Ryan O'Byrne beating the crap out of, trying to beat the crap out of Brad Stewart. The headline, Avs blown out after Landeskog takes blow. Oof. My tweet along with that was, how many references to blow do we need in one sentence? But kind of a headline fail. There hasn't been a whole lot of more hockey points.
So that was kind of a blown call.
That could be it, but I don't think that's what they're talking about.
I'm just saying.
Yep. So that's it. Hockey porn.
Damn, I had one.
I had McNabb's. That's what she said. But I think hockey porn kind of better encompasses it. And then I just put who said it. So
yeah, I had a McNabb hockey porn that I tweeted, but now I can't find it. So
there haven't been that many,
which is really good podcasting when you look for something and then tell everybody that you can't find it.
Yeah, just like you're here with us.
I suck at this.
All right. Should we do shout outs before the thing?
Yeah, because I got to pull up the thing. Why do I never remember to pull up the thing?
That's what she said. All right. Shout outs. David Edwards was wondering if you have to be from North America to get a shout out. David, you don't.
Where's he from?
Shout out to you. You know, I've been following the tweet that he sent that time was from Irvine, but he's been in different places in California. But it's David Edwards from California. So shout out to you. God bless the USA. Do you have Lee Greenwood music that you can play in the background?
I don't even know who. Proud to be an American.
Where at least I know I'm free.
Just so everybody knows, the Ontario reign of the ECHL is from Ontario, California. That's in America. Just wanted to make sure everybody knew that.
Write that down, folks.
Scott Yates.
Right on. Scott Yates, who has two thumbs and bought a curse word t-shirt.
Curse word t-shirt. Did you see what I said? He posted a picture of it online. Mm-hmm. And did you see what I said about him?
I don't remember.
I said he looked like the third guy from The Boss that gets killed in an action movie. He's like the guy that guards the steps that would be kind of effective.
Yeah.
He's not the first. He's not like the fifth from The Boss, right, who's like, you know, just cannon fodder, and you shoot him and then he falls in the hallway and maybe you just can't get around him. So you go, forget it. This is a little tough. Scott looks a little more like somebody that, okay, I'm going to have to take this guy out. You know, he's not quite the commando guy, but he's the guy that like, I'm going to look at you and you're going to get scared.
But he's going to have a good looking shirt on, and Scott, get back to cleaning your dirty room.
Dirty room. Filthy
pig. Katie Martinez now in Atlanta. Just want to say hi to her. I know we miss her here.
Mm-hmm.
But she had, you know, she's got the Thrashers. No, she doesn't. Katie, thank you. And Scott Thurston, who always has us in his ear holes one way or another. Scott, what's happening? So,
Fool. He's been putting some comments up at jerseysandhockeylove.com.
Yes, we always appreciate that support. We appreciate the support from everybody, but those are our shout outs.
Back, which I guess I should have answered back. Anyways, the point
being, do you have any shout outs?
Do I have any shout outs? No, none.
Okay.
No, you know what? I should have a shout out or two, but I don't really think I have.
Okay.
Even though I should.
That's okay.
God, I'm a loser.
You've said that a couple times in this show.
Was I talking about me or was I talking about you?
I don't even know anymore. I just nod my head.
My shout out, you know what? I'm going to throw a shout out at Dario in Denver because he's been tweeting up a storm. B, he's a teammate on my rec league game, on my rec league team, the Rampage. And he's just a lot of fun. So anyways, that's going to be a shout out to him.
What's up, Dario?
What's up, Dario? Schoolie D. Schoolie D. I want to call him that, but it doesn't really work. It's just not. Other than that, I want to just give a shout out to all you guys who have been listening.
Good numbers for the last show. So thank you.
And numbers aren't, you know.
Here's what numbers are
for us. Numbers are not like one of those, hey, look at all the hits we're getting. Please retweet, blah, blah, blah.
No chance.
Numbers for us are connection. It's connection with you guys. It's connection with the fans. It's connection with the game. So the more people that listen is also the more fans that, not for us, fans for the game.
It serves as, you know, little motivation to stay on top of things. You know, it's. If we begged for retweets or, you know, mentioned all the numbers and everything, that'd be one thing. We don't really pay attention to that, but it also is encouraging knowing that there are people out there downloading the show. So we appreciate it. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Yes.
It's been awesome.
Yes.
Oh, shout out to Phil Park. I don't think I've ever done a shout out to Phil Park. Philly the Fool. Mm-hmm. In I think he's in the western Colorado area.
Grand Junction, I think.
Yeah. He's from America.
Just a guess.
America.
That is America.
America.
Thanks,
free,
Phil.
Freedom ain't free, buddy.
No, it's not.
Keep that in mind.
Either are Ram trucks.
Either a Ram truck.
Nope, they're not free either.
And hey, you know what? Shout out to Ford trucks, because there's two things that Dennis Leary isn't going to sell me. It's a Ford F-150, and then all of his material is original. It's not going to happen. Folks, look up Bill Hicks. Your homework is Bill Hicks and Alan Eagleson. And if you don't know who those two people are,
shame on you.
Out. You're going to find out. And maybe you should. I said Alan Eagleson, Jay looked at me like, who?
Yeah, I have homework, I guess,
oh,
too.
Oh, man. Do you know who Alan Eagleson is?
No.
Oh, you're going to. Wow. This is going to be a hockey education for you, my friend.
Sweet. Thank you.
It's going to be big.
All right.
All right.
That's what she said.
You can always find the Avs Hockey Podcast at www.avshockeypodcast.com, where you can comment on stuff that we have talked about. You can see Jay put up a post that did people reading it, and I hopefully encourage Jay to do this more often. He threw up some thoughts just about the Sharks game with the hit against Landeskog. So I really like that Jay did that. So let's encourage Jay, pester him, badger him, whatnot.
Yeah, I have nothing but time to blog. Yeah.
So, and also he's got some more jerseys coming. He put a post up over at, or a picture up over at the Facebook page, fan page, which there's a link to it here, but isn't it facebook.com/AvsHockeyPodcast?
It is.
So head over there, because there's always stuff and people are always chatting about the Avs, and it's generally a pretty good conversation. You know,
and I have an update to the jersey post. I'll post all the pictures of the jerseys that I got back. And
a couple Landeskogs coming.
Yeah.
Nice. I
had to do some work on those. Yes.
Can't wait to see those. Jay's on Twitter at AVSHKY podcast. That's at AVSHKY podcast. You know.
That's right.
And I'm on Twitter at TapeLeg, my blog, which I've been throwing up more quick hit stuff lately, which I've been enjoying a lot.
I like that too. I know you enjoy it too. So
I love it. Yeah. Is jerseysandhockeylove.com. 6.5 years now. That thing's been going.
You're an old fart in the jersey and hockey blogger game.
And if you want to be just as cool as Scott Yates, go to curseword.net, because that is where those shirts are. We're going to be figuring out some ear hole shirts or something soon. Yeah. Because
I haven't mentioned ear hole. We're back in your ear holes.
We are sticking.
We're thinking about making a shirt. We'll just put it that way.
Yeah. Got to work on some design elements and actually having time to do it. Kinda especially like, I got to be at work in half an hour and a half.
Exactly.
Almost at half an hour. Thank God that isn't the case.
That's right.
That should about do it. Oh, yeah. You can always call us if you really want to.
745. That's all I remember.
845-704.
Oh, crap.
Rank. That's 845-704-7465.
Don't listen to me. You never do. All right. That's it. Episode number 76 of the Avs Hockey Podcast. You're home for almost everything Avalanche.
In the bag with the goods.
The whole enchilada. That's right. James, do you want to fist bump or touch my iPad?
Can I fist bump your iPad?
Sure.
Okay.
There's an app for that. Right on.
Bam.
Thanks, James.
Hey, thank you.
All right, everybody. We'll be back in your ear holes here pretty soon. Just give us some time. Hopefully, there's always something to talk about. So
it only took us eight games to do this, which is not bad.
Not bad.
I think, what did we do? We were like on the 10 or 12
previous season. We were on the 3 or 4 week cycle last year. We're going to try and keep it way closer to 2 or 3 this year. Yeah. So, you know, we'll be back in your ear hole sooner than later. Yeah. Until then, we'll see you online, and take care. Let's go, Avs. We'll see you next time on the Avs Hockey Podcast. Later.
Have you ever heard of the frozen water bottle? What's that? Oh,
you don't want to know.
Yeah.
Oh,
that's when you take a can of cake frosting, and then you get the household pet,
and you just look at them to see if they're buying it just enough to keep going. Yeah.
You rub the frosting on the pet, then you let him go, and start playing Led Zeppelin. And when they freak out,
you're good at this. You're really good at this.